Michelle Live Podcast.
My Michelle Live. My Michelle Live. Sports Time Out. The fans, the field, the faith, the fun. Here's Michelle.
Yes, I am. It is Sports Time Out. Time to indulge, my friends. We're doing this. And so our Sports Time Out, it's a round table. I got to tell you, this is so much fun. I like from some of our fans the explanation. This will help you if you're new to Sports Time Out, of what this is kind of like. It's kind of like the little sister with a bunch of big brothers sitting around the table on a Saturday morning talking about sports, right? So that's kind of the way it turns out. And I'm going to introduce you to the guys at our table today. First off, he needs to have a new theme song because this one's kind of lame, but we're still going to get you panged.
Get ready to get panged.
Garrick Payne, he's the Reverend of Sports. He is a chaplain, coach, player, pastor, and a lot of fun to have on the round table. We have with us our Wookiee of the Year, Joshua McMillan.
Wookiee of the Year, Josh McMillan.
Yeah,
there you go. I do it better.
You do it better. Do it, Josh. See? It's glorious. It's glorious. And then we have with us...
I make the big bucks.
We have with us the Encyclopedia of All Sport. And Josh, by the way, you can find him on Twitter at Josh Reports Live. Tweet him. He's a tweet Wookiee. And then we have the Encyclopedia of Sports himself, author of Thunder Sports Network, Rich Hallstrom.
Encyclopedia Rich.
The Encyclopedia.
And the man who's so cool, he doesn't even need to have intro music. His name is Matt Peel, and he is the author of this book, The Athlete in the Game of Life. You can find him as an associate on My Michelle Live, where you can actually even take his classes, which, by the way, where he talks about being able to utilize movement and stretching to keep you young, heal a lot of things. I was hit by a car when I was at the zoo. No kidding. And I kind of needed a little Matt Appeal to kind of help me out on that. So it may help you too. Hey guys, happy Blue Friday. Welcome to another sports talk show. Glad you could all join us today.
Happy Blue Friday, Michelle.
Ladies
Happy
and
Blue
gentlemen,
Friday.
In our own tradition, it's almost as though you're going to trivia. I've got to do it. It's time, guys, for sports.
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 Goal, 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 goal.
Hey, and speaking of goal, let's just start with soccer right off the bat. I think, Matt, you were watching a few European Soccer League games this weekend. Garrick Payne was playing in a soccer tournament, which we're going to talk about. But did any of you guys see the Super League protests that took place this weekend?
Yes,
Matt, what was your impression of that?
I kind of liked it. I just like seeing a lot of people get out there, especially when they're all locked down, just to go out and say, you know what, screw this. We're going to go out and support our soccer team because we don't like these ugly American owners that we have.
Yeah, so that's kind of the background to it, is that there is going to be this Super League. The European Soccer League has been doing their thing for a long time. Everyone has their own soccer team in their own area. They support it. It's part of life. And man, it's passionate. Then you have these big bucks Americans coming in and saying, you know, instead, I think we're going to join up with the Super League. We're going to change things up. They didn't ask the fans, who are part, really intricately part of the soccer league. It's just like, we're going to come in and do our own thing. Kind of not cool. So what did take place was some crazy protest. I mean, they broke into the stadium prior to a game. They were getting rowdy everywhere. And the coverage was a lot like watching the protest at the Capitol, where they were saying, this is horrible, this is unprecedented. It's not really unprecedented. It's been happening. Yeah, it's been happening with Black Lives Matter all through last year. It's just, we're seeing more of this kind of protest. Should they have broken in the stadium? No. But should they have protested? Yeah, I think they have every right to do it. So I want to turn that over if anyone's seen it or anyone wants to talk about it.
Well, the only thing I'll say, Michelle, is Manchester United fans, not very happy most of the time, either off the field or on the field. That's my take on a Manchester United.
Oh, okay,
fan.
So you're just gonna
I think they were just actually, it's Manchester United. There is a difference. Manchester United and Manchester City. We got to get that right.
Yeah, don't mess with that.
We don't want to get any strange packages in the mail from Manchester United fans.
Yeah, do not confuse the two. Yeah,
never.
But Manchester United fans need something to do in their off time is the way I kind of look at that whole thing that went down. And the thing that I think some of these teams need to remember, there's a real influx of cash from those supposed American owners that you don't happen to like. And it's a business.
Yeah, maybe a business, but to them it's more than a business. And that maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's our problem, Garrick, that we in America say, well, it's a business. You know, come on, we're giving you lots of money. But they're looking at it and saying, okay, USA, no, it's more than a business. Because isn't that sometimes what we don't love about sports, when it gets too much business and too little sports? Just a thought. Well,
Go ahead, Garrick, and then I'll jump in.
There's a tension, there's a balance, because it is a business, but it is, especially in England, and I had the privilege to play over in England, not at the top level, but for several years. And the thought of selling a team to another city like we do here, I mean, that would just be like selling your grandmother. I mean, it's crazy.
It'd be worse.
Yeah, I think you're right. you're probably right there, Matt. And so our understanding of sports in this country is very different, because sports, okay, picture a country, the country of England, with a geography relatively similar to the state of New York in size, okay? There are 60 plus professional clubs in that geographic space. Okay. So I think when you think about it that way, and these are in, you know, the top three divisions, of course, and there's many more clubs outside of that even. And so it takes on a whole different meaning and feeling because of the fact that it is not just a team or a sports team or one of the sports teams in our community. I mean, football is king. I mean, some might argue a little bit about rugby and to a much lesser degree, cricket, of course, but football teams are a part of the community. And so it's a very different understanding of the world than how we might see it.
Okay. Matt, I want to get more of your thoughts, and Josh as well.
You're right. You'll sell your grandmother, you'll sell your children before you're going to give up on your home team. And to have them, and that was a big stink when the Glazer family bought them. You know, they own the Buccaneers, and they come in and they put a ton of cash in marketing. And why were they for sale? Obviously the team was struggling financially while they were at the peak, just off their peak of winning with Sir Alex Ferguson and you know, David Beckham was on the team. And, you know, they had a run of, I don't know how many years, 10 years in a row of winning the premiership or the first division at that point in time, and winning the treble at least twice, I believe. So
you are correct, sir.
Yeah. So, and I'm a Chelsea fan, and
so sorry.
That's all right. We're in the Champions League finals when it comes up. So knowing all that, yeah, it's hard to swallow. It'd be like the same thing. Now they do have, you know, the Arabs and the Sheikhs that come in and purchase clubs like Manchester City. You have, you know, the Russian oil magnate who bought Chelsea, and those seem to be okay. But I guess they understand football, and fans understand that they know what football is about. Whereas an American comes in and tries to make it as an American football team or American football marketing, and it just doesn't sit with them.
I can see that resistance, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, well, first things first, if we're talking about soccer, soccer fans are a different breed.
No, okay? It's football, like, over there. Sorry to correct you.
Football, soccer, the fans are a different breed, because this is not like, we have instances, it seems like every couple years, where there's some big fight that breaks out or some big drama that happens because the fans are rowdier than any other sport. You know, in hockey, we get to watch the people fight on the ice. In soccer, we get to watch the people flop on the field, but the fans will get rowdy and the fans get all the physicalness out for the game. So I think it kind of, it goes with the territory.
I like it. Well, speaking of the football soccer territory, let's talk to our hat trick master himself, Garrick Payne, who you were actually playing soccer this Sunday. Way to go. I want to hear about where you were playing in Las Vegas, what it was all about, and that freaking hat trick, and possibly the best goal you've ever scored. And, you know, you were showing us your foot earlier that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
It's all swollen. Anyway, so I was in Las Vegas, Nevada for the King Cup, which is usually held over Martin Luther King holiday weekend, but it got pushed to May.
11
aside. And they have a different age categories. I have a birthday coming up this month. I was playing in the over 55 league.
The geriatric league. Okay. Gotcha.
No, there's actually older. There's an over 60 league or division. And so there were teams from all over the country at this tournament. And we played four games over 2 days. And we got knocked out in the quarterfinal game, but in our final qualifying, in our group play, I scored a hat trick in that third game, and that was fun. Thank you. But the goal that it might not be my best goal ever, but it's certainly one of the most memorable because it was quite windy there, and we were playing for this spot to go through to this was a quarterfinal match, and it was 0-0, and it was about 10 minutes to go in the first half, and one of my midfielders played this beautiful through ball to me, and right about midfield, and I picked up the ball and started heading towards the goal. I took maybe two touches, and I looked up and I saw the keeper was off his line. And the defender was charging in on me. And so I just thought, oh, what the heck? And so I launched one to go over the keeper. And the wind aided it a little bit, but I was able to get it over the keeper and into the back of the net. And it was a glorious moment, a goal that I will never forget.
What a shippy action, huh?
Yep. So, and I was out a ways, so I had to actually strike it. So it wasn't just chipping the keeper. I had to really strike it. And thankfully the ball set up nicely and I was able to make the right contact with it, because it's a tough thing to do, to hit a shot on the fly like that when a defender's chasing you. And so that's part of why it felt so good. And thank you for allowing me to relive that moment, because it was a glorious one.
Yeah. We can some other soccer stories as well that are, well, before we do, good luck on healing that, your sports injury there. Maybe Matt can help you out a little bit.
Yeah. Well, early in the game,
I did one of these.
Yeah. Well, it depends who's, are you a fan of who? And then I'll decide if I'm going to help you or not.
Oh!
Ouch.
Feel the love.
I have tended to less be fans of teams and more be fans of players. So when I was in England, Gary Lineker was my guy as a forward myself. And so I became a Spurs supporter, and then of course I'm not a large person. I'm about 5'7", and so Leo Messi is my guy, and so I kind of follow Barca as well. So, mm-hmm. Is that acceptable for you, Matt?
Well, I mean, Spurs are, is tough to swallow. Spurs, you know, yeah, London Derby.
But, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can deal with
it. At least I didn't say Arsenal.
At least,
hey, Garrick, I think he was. I think he was looking for you to say Christian Pulisic somewhere, somewhere in there.
No, I was looking for you to say like Man City or Liverpool.
No. No, I lived in Bolton, and so you never use the M word. But my dear friend was the chaplain at Manchester United, and just an amazing guy. And he actually is the one who initially helped us to get chaplaincy into the Seattle Sounders because it was an A-League team at the time or a USL team at the time. And Adrian Hanauer was the owner. And Adrian's a good friend. I've known him for many years. And he's like, I don't know if we need a chaplain. And so my buddy wrote a letter as the chaplain of Manchester United. And explained chaplaincy and how it wasn't a pushy thing or it, you know, and it was just there to be a support for the players. And over there, it's even more hands off than it is here. And Adrian said, yeah, let's give this a try. And it went very well. So,
yeah. So let's talk a little bit more soccer here. We've had some CONCACAF Champions League where we had a couple of U.S. teams, you know, MLS teams that were in the mix, the Portland Twigs and Columbus, but they neither of them pulled through, guys. So that's, you know, oh, so sorry. Although, you know, as a Seattle Sounders fan, was I pulling for Portland? You know, it would have been nice to have someone from the MLS go all the way. But and Columbus, what's up with that? They were not looking great this last game. Did anyone watch that but me?
I didn't see the game. Oh. Okay. I mean, they had done so
just
well
talk
previously.
To myself, then.
No,
just
they had done so
myself.
Well previously. So I was hoping that they would do better, especially having, you know, been our reigning champions, having beaten us.
They didn't play like champions. They played like we're just trying to do the best we can. And, you know, it goes back to something that we often talk about, Matt, and as you're new to our roundtable this week, we talk about U.S. soccer, it's getting bigger. It is getting better, but no, it's not quite on par with soccer from around the world for a number of reasons. You know, maybe we're late to the game. Maybe athletes that we have to compete with all these differing pro sports, where in other countries, that's it. You know, soccer is life. So, you know, maybe that's part of it. It would just be nice to see us be a little bit more competitive on that level.
And I agree. I've played since I was 6 years old. I'm an outside defender, by the way. So if you came on that through ball, I would do my best to try and snap your legs in the process, because that's just what my job would be. But you're right.
Bring it on, buddy.
I'll be 46 here at the end of the month. So all when right. I was growing up here, you know, playing soccer, then you know there are a lot of kids out there doing it. But it's really, I think we got another generation, because now my era who has grown up playing is coaching. Right? So now we're the dads, we're the uncles, we're the what have you, the ones that are coaching. And we've actually played it where when I was growing up, who was coaching? It was our fathers who didn't know, you know, anything. They were football, basketball, baseball, anything but soccer. So what did they know?
You're right.
They didn't read the handbook that AYSO gave them to you. And
yeah.
So how are they going to instruct us? So now we have a really, yeah.
You got the occasional immigrant as well. We had a Swedish a coach who did a great job with us. But wow. Yeah, it was very rare. And I think you're right. And now you're also getting people who played like us growing up. And now they're in places more of influence and with some financial wherewithal. It's a slow turning battleship to get soccer really where it's ever going to be, because of the fact that, you know, we've talked about this quite a bit on our show here, that just going competing against NFL and other, you know, the big three here in the US.
Well, that's why when's the season, right? The season is when the others are not in season. It's baseball, and there's nothing wrong with baseball. I like baseball. You know, you had Mariners background behind you. But yeah, they're 180 games, so it's a long season for them. So why not put it in there, and that way you get to loan players back and forth. I think it was genius when they're doing the season. I think it's genius how they set up the stadiums to be for 30,000 fans, so you can fill it. 20,000 fans and 30,000 looks fantastic compared to trying to put it into a 60,000, you know, seat arena. So
we fill it.
The thing too about the stadiums that you brought up with the 30,000, you're making a specific soccer stadium.
Yep.
In a lot of cases.
Yeah.
And Columbus was a good example of that. Several other teams, I believe, yep. Philadelphia has their own stadium. But
I mean, LA,
Bank of California. Yep, they've
and even the
one.
Portland Timbers, by the way, who I guess the governor has made a ruling. Yeah, sorry, fans, you don't get to be part of the fun this weekend. The Portland Timbers will be taking on the Seattle Sounders. I may be down there covering that match. I do want to talk MLS because for this glorious moment in history, I don't know who everybody's MLS team is, but mine is obviously the Seattle Sounders, and we are first in the Western Conference. We are first in Supporters Shield. We looked crazy great over
awesome.
LA Galaxy. We're going to be playing Portland this weekend, who, man, they were playing down in Mexico just Wednesday, you know, disappointing loss. So, you know, they've had some moment. So MLS is shaping up to look really good. We have some good matches that are going to be taking place on the Eastern Conference. New England, New York, and Orlando are 1, 2, 3. And here in the Western Conference where I live, Seattle, San Jose, and Real Salt Lake. Now, Matt, you mentioned baseball, and I think it is time for us to have a little baseball conversation.
But I have to know who Matt's soccer team is first. Do you have an MLS club that you support?
If I do, it'd be the Galaxy. But I'm really pretty neutral in all MLS. I do have a tie, and you will recognize the name, Jason Christ.
Oh yeah.
So former coach Real, I went to high school with him.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, a little baseball, Josh. This is for you. My, oh my.
I don't believe it. It just continues. My, oh my.
Yep, that's how we introduce baseball on Sports Time Out. Josh, I know you get real excited about baseball, particularly your team, which is the Seattle Mariners. Believe it or not, there are other teams to talk about out there and some interesting baseball
Allegedly.
Stories, and we're going to get to it. But we'll let you just wind it up. We're going to pitch it to you. Hit it out of the park, baby.
Yeah, it's an exciting time to be a Mariners fan right now. And even though there was a no-hitter against us, which was that was rough, you know, especially when you see everyone really kind of going ham and celebrating this great feat that was almost a perfect game, it's still a fun time to be a Mariners fan because we have a lot of young guys playing really well, and we have even more hope coming. I've been really impressed by the pitching staff this season. That's been a huge plus. But some of the big news right now is we had our minor league season start, and one Jared Kelnick got his debut down in AAA Tacoma, and he hit 2 home runs in his debut. So I think Jared Kelnick's trying to tell people that he's ready to make it up to the big leagues. And Jerry DePoto said as much. He said that, you know, we're getting close to seeing Jared come up here. We wanted to give him a couple of bats, you know, let him warm up in AAA, and then we'll see what happens. You know, I think one thing is they're looking like we'll bring him up, give some spark to this offense. Unfortunately, Taylor Trammell has not yet been able to figure it out. I don't think it's the end of Taylor Trammell's career by any means. It's still, you know, just over a month into his first season in the majors, and even Trout, his first year up, did not hit well. So I don't think it's the end of Taylor Trammell by any means, but Jared Kelnick might come up and be able to provide a spark to this offense. offense when that left field position has been batting under 200 as a whole for all the people that have played in that position. Kyle Lewis has really been coming back to form. Mitch Haniger's been in a little slump lately, but I mean, he's back to the, for a guy who hasn't played for 2 years, how many athletes have you seen have to step out away from the game for 2 years with serious injury and then come back and it's like they never missed a beat? They're right back to all-star form. That's a rarity right there. I can't think of many off the top of my head that have been away for that long. But so that's really cool to see. Julio Rodriguez also had a 5-hit game the other day down in one of my favorite teams, single high A Everett. Now they used to be the short season A. This season they're now high A. So they're getting a little bit more of that talent down there. And man, their pitching staff is insane. Most of our top prospect pitchers right now are in Everett. So if you want to go see some good pitching, go over, see the Everett Aqua Sox play. I'm probably going to have to get a hat of theirs. I know I'm still rocking the Pippins because I'm a big Pippins fan. But
and Josh is really a fan of going out and watching these farm league games wherever you may be in the country, because it's an inexpensive way to, although it is pretty cheap to see the Seattle Mariners, I'm not going to lie, but anywhere else you are in the country, it is an inexpensive way to really enjoy baseball, watch up-and-coming players, and a lot of places it's kind of lax, so you can oftentimes bring a picnic lunch and just really enjoy the game. Baseball is so American, guys. And where I would go to a game, any kind of game with any of y'all, if I go to a football game, don't have a conversation with me, please, because I am cheering on my team and getting rowdy. All right. A soccer match, there's really no time for it. And you're just going to annoy me because I'm watching all the action. So I just want to set the stage. But if you and I go to a baseball game, that's a time where I'm going to connect with you or whoever we're with. We're going to, you know, have dogs and beers and enjoy the game and each other. That's the way you watch live baseball, and it's glorious in my humble opinion. I would rather watch a live baseball game than sit there forever watching it on television.
Well, you know, this is, I said it before, it's one of the things I love about baseball is it's not just about like the constant action and keep your attention, you know, that we've kind of become accustomed to in this day and age, but it's a lot about like, you know, you listen to the radio broadcast or the TV broadcast and you have it on in the background and you have guys like Rick Grizz and Eric Goldsmith up there just telling stories. Like, I remember this day, you know, we did this ridiculous thing over in Chicago. You know, it's great. It's like hanging out with some friends. And that's what you're right. Going to the baseball game, getting some nachos or garlic fries or a Seattle dog, what have you.
And gotta get those crickets, man.
Gotta get the crickets.
Yeah, we have crickets up here. Have you ever eaten crickets, Matt?
No, just crawfish.
Okay, well, you know, I would take crawfish over crickets any day of the week. Give me a crawfish boil. Any other Major League Baseball news before we move on, fellas?
Before we move on, I do want to just say, Josh, I love listening to you talk baseball.
Yeah, I know.
It's just fun because I can tell that it's not just a hobby or something that interests you, but it's a passion, and it's fun to listen to you, and I learn a lot. But I will say, I love the Mariners, and this season I've actually recorded every game, and although I rarely get to watch them live, I go through and I will watch the games.
Do you fast forward through the games?
I do. I tend to do that
live if I'm gonna watch a whole game.
But I will say too, because of the fact that I'm not a baseball expert, I like going to games live just because of the atmosphere, but I don't watch as much of the game as when I'm watching it on television. Huh. And so it's harder for me if I'm trying to enjoy the game or to actually see what's going on. I remember much more of games when I watch them on television than when I'm there in person because of like what you were saying, Michelle. You know, I talk to my friends and just see everything that's going around and I think what might be a good thing to do sometime, and I see a lot of people do this, is to have the radio in their ear, you know, have a little earplug in so that you can kind of see and hear what's going on and know when to pay attention.
Because I'm so new to understanding the nuances, the terminology.
I'm with you on rugby, on that one too.
And I love it. our own Seattle Seawolves will be playing a home game this weekend, Sunday at 5. Is that right, Rich?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
Root Sports.
So, yeah, but there is, I have a learning curve there. Most definitely. I'm not going to lie.
Quasimodo was a hunchback. Carlos Hyde is a running back. And Michelle Mendoza will be right back. Let's see what I did there.
A time-reversing vehicle like no other.
Sending you back to your 30s.
Say wow again with Calitrin.
At mymichellelive.com. For the man who has everything. What? Except anything for his beard. The Luxury Beard Box. From Real Bearded Men at mymichellelive.com.
As My Michelle Live continues, we're talking sports time out today. We're indulging in Major League Baseball. Matt, weigh in.
So quick back on this is how my fandom goes. I was born in the Los Angeles area, so most of my fandom teams are from there. And then I live here in the New Orleans area, but I am a Saints fan. But Pujols, you know, got cut. So he is in AL West.
Yeah.
Do you think someone's going to pick him up and try to just continue a little bit of his legacy through the end of the season?
You know, that's a tough one. Cause I mean, he, like you said, he's a legend, you know, he's been there. He's been one of the best players in the league for a long time. And gosh, he's still batting over 200, though not much over 200.
Actually, the Mariners are hitting 201. Pujols is hitting 198.
Oh, is he 198 at the end? The line.
Yes.
That's rough. Yeah, I mean, I feel like someone is going to test him out, see if they can, you know, get him. Maybe it's a chance. Because that happens a lot in baseball, more so than almost any other sport, where people are picked up who didn't do well somewhere else, who have talent, for a change of scenery, because people think a lot of times it happens. I don't know why in baseball, but sometimes you go to a different team, you get reinvigorated. It's a very mental game. And I think that's a big part of it, because it failure is built into the game, right? I mean, in what other game do you fail 3/4 of the time and are considered a good player?
Yeah. You're making millions.
It's a huge, huge mental game. And so I could see him signing somewhere else. Although he did say earlier this year that he wasn't sure if he was going to play baseball past the 2021 season, which to me, I was kind of upset by the releasing move. You know, like, this guy's been a legend for you for almost a decade, and you're going to release him in what might be his final season in the league and not let him, you know, retire on his own. You're just going to get rid of him like that? I don't know.
Okay,
that was harsh to me, man.
Maybe that's a little bit of a different kind of a legend, really well-known name, letting go, disconnecting, than we're hearing in the NFL, guys. And that's time to talk about it. So I want to take on some news and information in the NFL. And one of those things, as we're talking about legends and conflicts, is Aaron Rodgers, Rich Hallstrom.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers can't get himself out of the news and doesn't want to get himself out of the news. He tells an ex-teammate, John Kuhn, fullback for him for several years, that he's now conflicted about whether he wants to play for the Green Bay Packers. And then Brett Favre also weighed in this week and said
he's
not optimistic about Aaron Rodgers returning to the Packers because, and I thought this was really telling, Favre said that Rodgers is real good at holding a grudge.
Ooh.
So I don't think that's the thing that really caught my eyes and ears when I heard Brett do several different radio interviews and heard several cuts.
Ouch.
That's not good when somebody says that you're not really good at that. You're really good at holding a grudge. And I still think that this is an Aaron Rodgers power play. He really wants the current general manager, Brian Gutekunst, out of his position. And I think that Aaron is still smarting, obviously, from the Jordan Love draft pick. But remember,
oh my gosh, how hypocritical is that? Think about when he was drafted.
Brett Favre Jr. situation is what this is. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Because Aaron Rodgers had no trouble, and I brought this up on the show this week, and I'll bring it up again. When Brett Favre was in the driver's seat, Aaron Rodgers had no problem being in Jordan Love's shoes at the same time. Mm-hmm. So this is all somebody's
guys, weren't we saying at the beginning of the show that in America, you know, sports just becomes a business. And so we have these multimillionaire sports figures that get their little feelings hurt. You know, he should be in it long enough to know it's a business. It's not the Aaron Rodgers show.
Well, Aaron knows that it's a business, and this is my take
on it.
So
this is the way he's playing it out?
Aaron Rodgers is okay with it being a business as long as he benefits from it.
Yeah, well, I think all of us can feel that way, Garrick.
Well, and I think that's part of why you're seeing maybe some backpedaling, because he's realizing that, you know, this thing has kind of blown up not in the way that he wanted it to. And that not everybody is his fan. I mean, he's an amazing quarterback. There's no question about it.
That's right.
I mean, he is a franchise quarterback, and I mean MVP. I mean, he's an amazing guy. And so, but he is, I think, kind of backpedaling a little bit now, thinking, "Gosh, I might not have a choice here, and so I better kind of play both sides a little bit." That's what I'm sensing.
Well, he never had a choice. And I would say the one thing that the Green Bay Packers could have done, because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year did the same thing. When Tampa Bay drafted a quarterback this year in the NFL draft, they called Tom Brady and told him that they were going to draft a quarterback, but this in no way reflects badly on you. And Brady had no problem with it. The Green Bay Packers could have solved this issue from their side by saying, "Hey, Aaron, you know, we've also got to build our team. We're going to draft Jordan Love. We just wanted to give you a heads up." That happens. Most of this doesn't happen. Yeah. But Aaron Rodgers also has to remember that 2 years ago, he had one of his worst seasons and rebounded to become an MVP. So what do you want the Green Bay Packers to do? I'll go back to this. What do you want the Green Bay Packers to do? Wait until Aaron Rodgers can't play at all and then decide to draft a quarterback or create a quarterback for the future? That's not how it works. And the fans would be up in arms if they did that.
Uh-huh.
Let's be honest.
There you go.
I've moved from my rebel base to the Star Destroyer because I'm gonna shoot some shots here.
Here we go. Gear it
People
up.
People might not be happy about it. How do you not draft a quarterback after Aaron Rodgers gave up in the championship game? It was the second quarter.
He gave up.
If I'm the GM and I see my franchise quarterback just give up, I mean, it wasn't even at the end of the game, right? I mean, I gave crap to Cam Newton for this, the end of the Super Bowl there. And even then, even if you recover that, they may not have, probably still wouldn't have won that Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers in the championship game, but he took a couple of hits. And then in the second quarter, the man gave up. He didn't want to win. He gave up on his team. How do you not say, all right, we need to look to the future to move on, because this guy clearly isn't playing for us anymore. He quit in the middle of a game, a championship game. So I'm all for them getting Jordan Love in. Heck, draft another quarterback this year. It's time for, and I think half the people in Wisconsin and everyone else that's not in Wisconsin is tired of listening to Aaron Rodgers whine. He wants
They don't want a Favre repeat. They don't
Matt,
want a Favre repeat.
Let's say you.
Want
to move let's on. Say you, Matt.
I think I said before, this is Brett Favre Jr. This is the same exact situation that happened with old Favre. And what's that?
Right,
Bart Starr. This is a long-standing tradition, and
yeah, they seem to have this same issue over and over again. And then I'm sure Rodgers will go somewhere and do well for 2 years, and then away he goes.
Here's the thing:
Minnesota will get lucky.
The computer will chime in here with this statistic: No Green Bay starting quarterback has played more than 16 seasons for the Packers.
Okay, Mr. Encyclopedia. Hey, I wanted to mention something that I thought was really, really cool, coming kind of from the NFL, and it's linking to the Olympics. And that is Seattle Seahawks DK Metcalf is and the 100 meter dash at the U.S. track and field event this weekend. Are you kidding me? I mean, come on. I mean, think back to how fast was he actually clocked at, Rich, when he was chasing down Buda Baker?
22.64 miles an hour. Yep.
And that's with helmet, pads, gear.
Oh yeah.
Come
you got
on,
me right
was,
there.
Was I with you, Josh, during that game?
I think you were. And yeah, that is enough to qualify for the Olympics right there. That is that speed. You have to get at least 22 miles per hour to qualify in terms of what the timing is of the 100 meter. And so that's enough to qualify. So if he gets his track game right and, you know, wearing track gear, I think we could see something special.
I think that's really cool, that crossover, you know, athletes that are just crazy, amazing athletes. That's great to watch. It's really neat to see, as we talked about in America, we have so much opportunity with sports. So it's kind of fun to see those crossovers, you know, here in Seattle.
I'm surprised that hasn't happened more. I'll be honest.
Good
with
point.
You. I'm surprised
good
that
point.
That hasn't happened more. If we think back, let's think back to Willie Gault in the Bears, you know, the mid '80s Bears. You know, he was a guy that I think every time he caught the ball, it was the same intro about him. Willie Gault with world class speed. Willie Gault with world class speed. And I was like, what the hell does that exactly mean? I mean, the guy hasn't been to the Olympics, but he's got world class speed. So.
Well, actually,
a long time coming, you know?
His Olympic involvement goes to another sport. He was part of a four-man bobsled team in the Winter Olympics, but they didn't. They were only in qualifying and didn't really get very far because they did not know the nuances and intricacies of bobsled.
And that's why we call him Encyclopedia Rich.
Encyclopedia Rich.
The Encyclopedia.
Exactly.
No problem. No problem.
I see pride. I see power.
I see a bad mother. We won't continue. That was a great movie.
Love it.
By the John way. Candy's cool best running. Movies, actually.
Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings.
I loved Cool Runnings. That is an excellent sports movie. You know,
did you know they made another movie that was about this British ski jumper that was almost like the exact same
Eddie
plot
Edwards.
Line?
Eddie the Eagle.
Yep.
You're right on.
That dude.
Oh, hey, I don't know why.
He came off sideways off those ski jumps.
I was going to ask you, Garrick, back to soccer for just one brief moment and your hat trick and great goal that you did. How do you celebrate a goal?
I usually try and find the player who assisted me first. I mean, no, I will do a good jump up celebration.
What's it look like?
You know,
I mean, I know you're injured, but I kind of
want
to see like a mini version.
Hey, give us a live demo.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
The jumping part would be kind of hard for me, but my 6-inch vertical leap would give it a try.
I'm in your wheelchair. I love it. Don't worry.
Yeah.
If you hurt something, Matt's here to help you out.
Right.
So great.
Right.
I got a stat for you guys. When we were talking about Albert Pujols, did you know that Albert Pujols was a rookie the last time the Mariners made the playoffs?
Oh, great.
Wow.
Maybe now that he's not, like, he might not be in the league. Maybe now that means it's our time. It was the Pujols curse. I'm saying it now. I'm calling it.
Okay. I like
Write the book.
I think it was really the curse
of Kevin Mather and some of those other people before that.
Yeah, guys,
a lot of times I will run and I'll point.
Okay.
And I'll point at the player like this. Okay. With two fingers. And then sometimes it's the fist pump as well. So it's I don't draw a lot of attention to my celebration because I'm so happy to score a goal.
So. You don't do the full Brandy Chastain and take your shirt off?
I have not done that. No.
I want you to know I have not done that either. So I'm with you.
Why have you not done that? That's what America
anyway,
wanted to know.
Moving on.
Right along.
Any other sports stories that you guys want to bring forth for us to discuss today?
We didn't talk about the Sounders game on Sunday. Oh my gosh.
I mentioned.
We haven't talked about the draft.
The NFL draft.
Oh, the draft and how things are shaking up, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, this draft was a really interesting one. The Seahawks only having 3 picks was, I mean, that's crazy. That's the first time that we've picked less than 8 under under our current.
It was 5. We in the mid 90s we had our low.
No, under the current administration.
Okay.
Under John and Pete, this is the first time we picked less than 8. And I had called it before a while ago. I said that they're going to be trying to play 4D chess and they're going to say, we're not going to get the quality of draft picks. And, you know, in a way they were right because there was, I've heard it say that there was something like 500 kids.
That's exactly right.
That should have been in this draft that aren't because of COVID. And we have less hands on those kids. We have less ability to go and like bring them in and have those meetings with them. So I think they played it smart. If they were going to do a year to get rid of all their draft picks for a player like Jamal Adams, now is the year. Yeah. But with those
I think
three
it was
picks,
worth it. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Jamal Adams is a beast of man. With those 3 picks, though, we bring in some good players, guys I like. One that we actually heard some people in Seattle talk about, Dwayne Eskridge, as our second round pick. A guy has a lot of speed. And looks to be the kind of player that you really would like to have in your slot. Although I'm still a little miffed about this because we have a man named John Ursua on our roster that I have been campaigning to see on the field for more than one play. Because watching that guy play in college, man, he was shifty. And even in practice, we've seen some practice highlights of him making crazy one-handed grabs and the like. But Dwayne Eskridge has talent. He'll compete with John Ursua and Freddie Swain for that third receiver slot. Then we went out and we got a cornerback out of OU. You know, a lot of you know that I'm a Sooner boomer. He's a guy that
Trey Brown can play.
Yeah, Trey Brown, he can play. He can play. And one of the things I thought was really interesting was when Pete and John were talking about him in their press conference, they said that he's a guy that if he was taller, if he had, you know, longer arms, was a little bit taller, he would have gone top 10 in the draft. They think that highly of how this guy can play, is that it's really the only limiting factor that slid him down was his height and arm span. So excited to see what they did specifically say they want him to play outside. So he's going to be competing for one of those outside slots. He's not going to be going as a slot cornerback, at least at first, and competing with Marquise Blair and Ugo Amadi there. And then the one my favorite is down in the 6th round, we grabbed a guy that was projected to go in the 2nd or 3rd round, Stone Forsythe, who weirdly looks like The Rock and Russell Wilson had a baby. And it was like the combo of the two of them. And that's Stone
he's right.
Forsythe, if you can imagine.
He's right.
I tweeted out that picture a while ago. But man, yeah, that guy, he's huge. He is a big, mean mother. He's going to be a people mover, and he looks to be, I don't think he's going to get playing time this year, but he's going to sit behind Dwayne Brown. And because Dwayne Brown, great player, hope he finishes out his career here, but he's getting towards the end of his career. He's getting up there in age. He's probably going to retire in the next couple years here. So I hope that Stone can be a tackle of the future, but really like the draft. I like a lot of the free agent signings, the undrafted free agent signings we've made. Some good receivers to compete with there too. So look out for them to really contribute. But exciting year, new year.
What about some of the other teams and draft picks and how things are lining up and how it might look like a different season this year?
Well, I think, Michelle, when you go
for
that, you got to talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars under Urban Meyer. They got 2 studs, Travis Etienne, and, of course, the overall number one draft choice. Meyer's going to try to build a team, try to build a franchise, rebuild the work ethic, rebuild the culture, the whole thing. He got off on the right foot.
What about Tim also, Tebow?
Well,
he may be coming back.
Tebow being a tight end, that's going to be one of those things you're going to have to see. But he's got athletic ability.
I called that 10 years ago. Whatever he came out, Tim Tebow is a tight end. He could be a Hall of Famer.
Well, this is what people have been telling him to do for 10 years too. Like ever since his quarterback career finished, people have been saying, hey, play tight end. We'll bring you in at tight end.
Yeah.
You know, he was the original Taysom Hill type of player, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. He's the prototype.
But a better athlete.
Oh, man. He's a monster athlete.
Yeah.
Matt, the Saints, they had some, you know, they lost a legend, right? And now
we lost a legend.
So what's up for the 2021 season?
Well, we
believe Jameis Winston can get beat out. What do you think, Matt? Because
Jameis Winston cannot get beat out. Taysom Hill does not have the quarterback IQ that Jameis has. So what really I have a question about Jameis overall.
Hold on a second. Quarterback IQ from a guy who once threw 30 interceptions?
Hey, he got his eyes fixed. He had LASIK. All right.
That was my whole thing. It's like, this Jameis Winston, you make how much money and you can't afford damn LASIK surgery, you know, 4 years ago? I don't get that.
Maybe he was buying too many crab legs.
Maybe that's
crawfish.
I don't know.
Crawfish boil.
Maybe that's why he uses his hands a lot more than most people do, you know, because he couldn't see what she looked like. But, you know, I think overall he's a better quarterback than Taysom. Taysom is a better athlete. And I think Tim Tebow, kind of, again, circling back to that, man, if he would have just swallowed his pride a little bit and say, let me just be on a team and do what I can do to help a team, he could have been one of the greatest tight ends of all time.
Here's the thing, Matt, about Tebow being a quarterback. If he really wanted to pursue the quarterback position, he should have gone to Canada. That would have been
possible.
That would have been my advice: is to go to Canada and put in the work that's needed to make yourself a better quarterback. Instead, he got some bad advice, and God used him in different ways, and his career has gone different ways. But I think the great thing is he can share all those experiences with brand new Jaguar teammates. So
you know what, Rich? You touched on something that in Sports Timeout, we always like to try to find the God story that, you know, we look at the win as the woohoo thing to get excited about. We look at the big bucks and the big signings, but there are countless stories of people and their lives that don't take on the victory twists and turns that we expect, but God still uses it. And that's a lesson for all of us, that it's not always as we expected or the big fanfare, but sometimes we can have glorious wins in small unforeseen ways. Anyone want to comment on that? No,
I said
I'll always comment on that because that's really the key, is that, and when it comes down to God doesn't waste anything in our lives. The good, exactly. The bad, the victories, the failures, they're all used. They can all be used to build our character and strengthen us and make us better in life. And I'm excited to learn more about what Matt does with, being an athlete in the game of life, because I think there's probably some of that element in what you talk about, Matt, just in terms of what, I mean, there is so much in our lives that nobody lives a perfect life, right? And so if we were just to discard all our failures, then half of our life would probably be gone, right? And so if we can build on those things and we can, you know, we can use those things to strengthen our character and make us better. That's why, I mean, I feel like at 57 almost as a soccer player, I'm a better player than I was when I was 30. Right. Because of the fact that I know so much more and I understand the game better and I understand what I can do and what I can't do. So
and you're right. That's really what the book is about. And I'm not trying to plug the book or anything like that on this podcast.
I'll plug away.
I'm plugging.
We want to hear about it.
That is what the theme is. It's just, you know, getting our bodies ready to do more of what we enjoy. You know, you're right. We're not 30 years old, not 28 years old. But we can play at the top level at 57, at 46, or whatever your age level is, and how can we get maximum enjoyment to do that, whatever it is, whatever it's soccer or gardening or hiking or golfing, what have you.
Well, and I think that that ties so much into life in general. I mean, God created us for his glory and not to just kind of mark time until we die, right? I mean, it is literally about living and making the most of who we are. And, you know, I work part-time still as a pastor. I preach every Sunday. And that's my message always. It's like, there is so much life for us to live. And I think that's what gives glory to God. If, I mean, talk about worshiping God, the best way that we can worship God is to do exactly what you're talking about, Matt, to whether it be gardening or being a school teacher or being an accountant, to find what your passion is, what you're good at, what you love, and enjoy life and have glory in it. So,
you know, God's word does talk about that too. And I'll bring up a scripture that you can reference, Garrett, for us, Garrick. I become all things to all men that I might win some.
Mm-hmm. By all means, save some. Yep.
Guys, it's time for us to take our final shot. And so, Matt, as you're new to the game today, we go around the round table and just mention something. And it could be sports related sometimes, and often it's not. But just a short shout out to an issue, a person, something as we take our final shot. So our final shot today, we are going to start with Joshua McMillan, the Wookiee of the Year.
So my final shot is going to go out to DJ Fluker, the Warrior. Why? Because, well, he's one of my favorite players, but also he followed me on Twitter. Best day of my Twitter life. So shout out to you, DJ Fluker, for making my day yesterday and giving me that follow.
like it. All right, let's go to Rich Hallstrom.
Well, let's go back to baseball. This week, Willie Mays' 90th birthday. Ken Griffey Jr. called Willie Mays the godfather of center fielders. He is the oldest living Hall of Famer at this point in time.
He is,
so
indeed.
So congratulations to him.
Yeah, and to all that he's done. I mean, my goodness gracious, that man, just saying. Let's go to Matt Peel.
I'm going to give it to Thomas Tuchel, the coach of Chelsea, who took a mid-table team and now has put them in two cup finals with the same group of players that a legend from Chelsea has worked with. But I think it's the experience and knowing the relationships. How do you build relationships? How do you build bridges with everybody to take that same, you know, piece of clay and now make a masterpiece out of it? Or someone else just kind of made an ashtray, you know, now this person has truly made a nice piece of art.
I'm going to take my final shot, and you guys can't see it, but our viewing audience can. My final shot goes out to Jimi Hendrix, who made his appearance at the game, the Sounders match. Man, those kits are psychedelically cool. The purple haze Jimi Hendrix kits. I'm not wearing mine today, but I did quickly go down and buy one. It is so cool. So just because I'm from Seattle, that Seattle legend there that I don't know, I just like to bring home. So that's my crazy shout out of the week. But speaking of bringing it home, let's bring it home. Get ready to get panged, Garrick.
All right, I was hoping that you hadn't forgotten me, so I just kind of raised my hand there.
Never.
I'm pulling mine out of a different world. About a week and a half ago, I met producing artistic director, the new head of Taproot Theater Company. And if you ever,
they've been
never
on my show
Taproot,
many times, by the way.
They're amazing. But Karen Lund, based on, you know, what we were just talking about a minute ago, Matt, with what she does, she knew at like the age of six that she was going to be an actress. But she has just an amazing story and journey and life and just now taking the reins of Taproot Theater and just doing some great things there. And if you're into theater at all, I encourage you to check it out. The Taproot Theater Company.
You can connect worldwide. They have wonderful online. They're working really hard to do online theater. Karen has been on our entertainment review before. In fact, you know, just a few months ago. And yeah, they have a great mission to reach people with a deeper story, just like we do here on My Michelle Live. So if you've liked what you've seen here, you can connect with all of the fellas here by going to My Michelle Live. Any links to Garrick's church or Matt's book or even his course that he offers, you can find that at My Michelle Live. You can connect with Josh by Rich Hallstrom's book. His book is Thunder Sports Network. And you can like us, support us, you can donate, keep us on the air, keep us reaching the world with a better story, the God story. Guys, thanks for joining us today. It's been a blast as always. I love each and every one of you.
Right back at you, Michelle.
For more fun, go to MyMichelleLive.com.
Yep, and that's a wrap.